This is the Love Foco Show.
We're focused in the city on right-sizing. I think some challenging conversations coming with the community, I'll say, about right-sizing our services. Again, that those budget pressures are real, and so we're going to have honest conversations with the community about choices and trade-offs. And I so appreciate that Fort Collins engages in those conversations.
Welcome to the Love Foco Show. Our podcast highlights the incredible people who make Fort Collins the place we're proud to call home. Each week, your host, Jeff Faust, sits down with local leaders, community champions, and changemakers to share their stories, what they love about our city, and how they're helping it thrive. So whether you're out on the trail, at a brewery, or walking through Old Town, thanks for tuning in.
Hey everyone, Jeff Faust here, your host for the Love Foco Show. So excited because today the city manager, Kelly DiMartino, is sitting down with me to have a conversation about leadership, Fort Collins, our history, our future, and what makes this city such a great place to live. You're not going to want to miss this conversation. Kelly just has a wealth of experience. She's seen so many different leadership positions and roles in our city, and it's crafted and created her into the person she is today. And again, so grateful for the time that she's sharing with us and sharing with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this conversation with our city manager, the person who has so much power in Fort Collins, Kelly DiMartino. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for giving me some of your time. I know you are probably one of the busiest people I've interviewed with the amount of responsibilities that come across your desk on a daily basis. And so I'm grateful for the time that you're giving to me in the Love Foco Show. You're the city manager of Fort Collins, which is a huge undertaking, a huge job. I want to get into some of the nitty and gritty and how you even prepare to get this job and what your daily life is like. We'll get to all of that in a moment, but I like to start every podcast the same way, just asking folks, what is your Fort Collins origin story? Like, where did you come from? Where, you know, did you grow up, born and raised here? Did you transplant in like so many others I've met? But yeah, just tell us a little bit about your origin story to Fort Collins.
Yeah, happy to do that. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to it. So I am actually a Nebraska girl.
Okay.
Born and raised in Nebraska.
All right.
I ended up in Fort Collins actually as a result of a job with the city. So I was working as the public information officer for the city of Grand Island, Nebraska.
Okay. Wait, where is Grand Island? Like in the dead center of?
Yeah, it's a little bit further east.
Okay. Yes. Cabela's a really big thing there?
Cabela's is a huge
Cabela thing. Is that their like headquarters and stuff?
Their headquarters is actually in Sydney, Nebraska.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So it's a little further east.
I just know I drive that interstate when I go visit my family in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
And I always pass, a whole bunch of Cabela's stuff on I-80.
Yes. Yeah. So when you go past Cabela's and then you go to Kearney and you go under the big arch that's under the interstate, Grand Island's like another half an hour to the east.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So wave when you go by. So that's where I was. I was in Grand Island and I had a coworker at the city there who brought in a, flyer. It was back in the days when you still had paper, things like paper newsletters. And they brought in this flyer for a job for the city of Fort Collins, Colorado. And she was originally from Golden. And she's like, hey, Fort Collins is a great little town. At that point, I was in a place where my husband at the time had gone back to school. We thought once, and he was done, we probably, all of our family was in that area. Like all of my family, aunts and uncles, everyone.
It's the Midwestern way.
15-mile radius of one another. We thought, we might want to go explore further. So and I will say at the time I wasn't really looking for a new job, but I thought it'd just be good to have some interview experience.
Okay.
Because I'd been in Grand Island for about 4 years.
Yep.
So applied for the job. It was a communications and public involvement coordinator here at the city. And again, had no interest in the job. Got selected for an interview, came out here, and after kind of the first day and round of interviews, I remember calling home distinctly and saying, well, now we have a problem.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want to go back home.
Yeah, I think I love this place and I want to be here.
There's a magnetism, isn't there? Like, I mean, I talked to so many people who are like, I went on a vacation or I went to this or I did this little thing for a day or two, or even I passed through Fort Collins on my way to maybe Estes Park or whatever. And I never wanted to leave.
Yeah. And it was great. The interview, I will never forget. The interviews were in April and I got in on like a Wednesday night. The interview was Thursday morning and it was one of those amazing spring storms that we get in Fort Collins, where I came in and it was like 70 degrees and sunny. And I woke up the next morning and there was like 10 inches of snow.
Yeah. Oh.
So I remember after my interview, walking down Linden Street and, you know, like walking by this, there was a bookstore at the time and there was a bike chained to a one of the bike racks down there. And it was just like magical. I'm like, what is this place?
It really is.
And I still feel that way.
And if you would have stayed for another 48 hours, that snow would have been gone.
Yes.
Or 24 hours. And this is what's incredible. People don't always realize this. If you've grown up around here, snow comes and it melts and it's a beautiful, sunny winter day again. That does not happen in Nebraska or where I grew up in Iowa. It snows in, let's say, October. It will stay there until April.
Yes.
Or May. Like, it was just, you just keep packing snow on top of snow. The sun hides for 5 months straight. It's just kind of a depressing reality.
Gray. Yeah. Anyway, so it was lovely. I, in that moment, kind of fell in love with the place. And somehow was able to get the position. I got the offer. And so I ended up saying, yep, this is an opportunity that's too good to pass up. So moved to Fort Collins in June of, it was 1997.
Okay.
And for people who have been around Fort Collins for a while, they will remember that in July of 1997, we had a flood that came.
Oh, really?
It was Spring Creek flood. So I'd been on the job about 4 weeks. And
wow.
When I started here, I asked, one of the things I asked in communications is like, what's my role in an emergency? Because I was from Grand Island,
Nebraska, question.
Which is like Tornado Alley.
Right.
So I knew all about emergency communications. And they basically said to me, like, we don't really have emergencies in Fort Collins.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
So 4 weeks later, I got this 5 a.m. phone call saying, hey, there's been a flood. I actually thought maybe I was being punked because in my neighborhood, it was
perfectly fine.
Sadly, that was not the case. We'd had 5 fatalities as a result of that flood. And so, immediately.
Yeah, this was before my time here. I moved here about 8 years ago or so. So was this one of those floods that was kind of in response to a previous fire? Like,
no. So we had, it was just like a cell, a storm cell sort of parked right over Fort Collins along the Spring Creek area. We got 14 inches of rain in a very short
area. Oh my goodness.
There was a train on the train tracks back by, if you know where Dairy Queen is, on College Avenue, there's a sort of elevated railroad track there. The water actually overtopped. The train fell to its side and dumped a bunch of grain.
Wow.
There used to be a mobile home park down in what that park area is. And that's where people lost their lives.
That is tragic.
So it was a huge tragedy for the community and in a very isolated part of the community, right?
Right.
The university was pretty heavily impacted. And then, a series of.
What an introduction to your job too, especially with no crisis management like comms plan.
Right.
And you're, that just, it like speed and accelerates up your acclimation to your job and the community in a different kind of way.
Yeah. The, I hate to say there's a silver lining to that kind of tragedy, but for me, what it did is it introduced me to people in all parts of the city organization. I mean, I would have worked here for years and not met our stormwater engineers.
Right.
Right. But it was quickly, just became so familiar with so many people and parts of the city organization and the community. And I, in that moment, saw how, again, both the city organization and the community rallied to support people and came together. And what I quickly quickly came to realize is that that sort of community support, connection, and responsiveness as an organization is not only reserved for emergencies, that's part of the ethic of,
yep.
of who we are and how we show up. And, you know, again, fell in love with the place.
It's part of what makes this city so amazing.
Yeah.
It's not just like the different offerings or amenities, you know, spirit of excellence and entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. It's really this collective ownership in a way to one another.
Yes.
That makes the city, yeah, such a special place to live in. And boy, I can just imagine though how sleepless nights, things that are keeping you up, figuring out how to communicate this well. And in a time in 97 where comms takes a little bit longer. You know, now it's instant.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to publish something, you can just publish it and get it out.
Yeah. One of my memories from that time, again, I did have a BlackBerry back then.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. You were cutting edge if you had a BlackBerry.
Pre-texting, pre all yeah. those things. And so I got here and I was working, right? You're just in the middle of it. And later that afternoon, one of the administrative assistants from the city manager's office came down and said, look, I really need you to take a 5-minute break and call your mother. She's called here 3 times because like the national news yeah. was reporting on this big
flood. Yeah.
You know, I'd only lived here 4 weeks. She's like,
yeah,
just seeing this news and thinking we're all flooded. And I mean, again, my house was perfectly fine and
yeah.
my son was in daycare and I was busily working.
Right.
It was a very different time in terms of yeah. communication and connectivity.
Yeah, those BlackBerries, man. Those were an upgrade, though, from what I saw. So I my first cell phone was a little Nokia.
Oh,
you remember those? Yeah. And you could play Snake on it.
Yeah.
And you had to hit, you know, the numbers 4 times to get to the right letter. And if you went too far, you had to cycle all the way through again. It's quite a bit different now. Yeah. Everybody listening who, like, had a Nokia or a BlackBerry, they didn't know exactly what we're talking about. All the younger folks have, they have no idea the plight that we went through
and
learning
exactly.
to text those days. Well, that's interesting. How long were you in that comms kind of department and what kind of journey did you take from that to city manager? I would imagine there were a few steps along the way.
There were. I thought 4 to 5 years is probably how long I would be here in Fort Collins and in the city organization. And that is not the way it has worked out, obviously. I've just been very fortunate and blessed to be able to have a lot of different opportunities in the city. So I was in a variety of roles in the communications office, really going from being kind of a one-person communications shop to building more of a full-scale communications and marketing team here
okay.
in the city organization. So 14 years of my career was dedicated to a variety of communication roles in the city of Fort.
And you were correct. So I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right. So you started kind of in this role, but then the team started to grow and you were really the leader of that. I mean, so you got to grow with the needs of the city, the demands of the city. Was that your first exposure to like building and managing a team or had you done that before?
No, that was really where I got my experience was within the city organization.
Yeah.
I mean, I had had, you know, like an intern who had worked for me or some smaller teams, but it was really in the city organization where I started to grow those leadership capabilities
yeah.
and have those opportunities. So again, and some of it was just the communication needs changed in the community,
right?
Again, we were responding to what does our community need? What do they deserve and expect from us?
Yep.
So again, able to really build just a great team there and start to move more into some of the social media spaces, video, in addition to more of the traditional communication, a lot of events and more public engagement
type
of work. So that was really fun. I loved that time in my career here in the city organization.
I have so many questions about that. I mean, like honestly, because I lead a small team now and that team is always growing and then I lead a team of a bunch of different volunteers. I want to make sure I say it out loud so we can circle back around to this because I'm very interested in how you've grown in your leadership capacity, what you've learned about like even delegating responsibilities and building those teams, because now you lead way more people than just a comms team. You're the city manager. So there's, I mean, like if anyone has a city role in one way or another, they kind of report to you. So Let's circle back to that in a moment. Okay. But I want to hear the rest of your journey to the role that you have now.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, I will gladly come back to that.
Okay.
So from there, I moved into some other roles in the organization, one in the city manager's office in like an assistant to the city manager role. So again,
assistant city manager or assistant to the manager,
to the city manager.
Yes. For all of our office friends out there.
I know. So a lot of like special project work, really. I was doing more special projects. And then, so I tell people, they're like, so what was your career journey or what planning did you do? Honestly, like I've said yes to opportunities that come up and I try to meet needs before people necessarily saw them as a need. Like I have never been a person who had this mapped out path of I want to do A, B, C. What I want to do is serve in a way that's helpful.
Yeah.
And so that led to a time in the organization where we needed some additional support in HR. So I was the acting HR director for a couple of years.
Really?
I spent some time as the communication and technology services director. That was fun, overseeing.
Just wore a lot of hats in the city.
Yeah, so I wore a lot of hats. From that, I moved into an assistant city manager role, actual assistant city manager, and part of that responsibility was over all of our, what we called information and employee services. So still a connection to that communications team, but now also IT, human resources, our operations services, which is our fleet and facility. Again, many of those support services that really do some of the behind the scenes work to equip the departments who are.
It's really interesting because I remember just some of my early promotions where at one point I was responsible just kind of for myself. And that was it. And then I remember being promoted and all of a sudden I've got a small team and that they all report to me and then being promoted. Now I have some like managers who are over some folks and I've been on that journey with some people. And then, it was challenging for me to then see some of those folks that I used to have direct lines of communication with who are used to being able to just report right to me, open access to me. Now all of a sudden there's different layers or my time is being stretched in different kinds of ways. That was like a huge learning curve for me. And I found out a learning curve for the other people that were used to just being able to walk into my office whenever they needed to. Have you found that to be similar in your journey too?
Yeah, I have. And I'll talk a little bit about my experience. So after, so I'm going to like do the last two.
Oh, I know. I'm getting sidetracked.
No, not at all. So I then moved into a deputy city manager role. And in each of these experiences, I had an opportunity to oversee different parts of the organization. So went from working with information and employee services to working with our community services team, which is parks and recreation and cultural services. Spent some time then in the deputy role with our utilities services and our planning, development, and transportation. So again, each of these kind of steps, I was working with different parts of the organization. Then when our longtime city manager, Darren Atterbury, who I worked, he was actually the person who hired me.
Okay.
In fact, back in 97. When he left, city council appointed me into the interim role. And at that point, went through a national search. And I didn't know if I was going to apply for the position, to be honest. It wasn't like I'd had this career goal. But during my time in the interim role, realized like I'm really enjoying this work.
Yeah.
And in the city management profession, I will say it is historically there have not been a lot of female leaders in the city management profession. So there was part of me that was like I almost feel like a sense of commitment. I owe it to the profession in some ways.
Yeah.
To try. And
I bet this is a pretty coveted position. If you said there's a national search. I bet there were some incredible resumes, a large number of people who would have loved to move to Fort Collins and be the city manager in this beautiful place.
We are, again, Fort Collins is a very desirable community. The organization has a really solid reputation. Again, we have a history of elected officials and council members who like care about the community. And that's a very attractive thing as a city manager to serve for councils like that. So it was a highly competitive environment. And I had this like learning moment during that because council after going through the recruitment process, what they came back and said is, you know what, we're going to take a 3-month pause. And we're going to have you continue in the interim role for 3 months.
Yeah.
And during that time, we want you to really act as though you are the city manager.
Yeah.
And
was this a 3-month interview? Is this what this was?
I had this moment of like, wow, like I feel like that's what I've been doing for the last months in general. But their feedback was so valuable because it gave me pause, and this gets to your question of like both how it was hard for others, but hard for me too.
Yeah.
What I realized was like, I'm actually not. What I'm doing is providing stability and continuing to function as though I were really in the deputy role.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And the city manager role is a different role.
Yeah.
I report into a mayor and city council, and my job is to make sure that their vision for the community and their policy direction, that we're operationalizing the organization in that way. And so it was like a little bit of a mental aha for me of, I can't keep doing all the things that I've been doing, which I loved, because I loved every part of my career.
Right.
I have to let go of some of those things in order to be able to really step into this this role and be more available, not only for the organization, which is still a big part of my job, but more available for council and for the community.
Yep. So interesting, because some of those relationships that get forged in those early parts of your career where there's a lot of direct reports and you're working problems and solving things together, you don't get to work in the same capacity when you have to be moved up a level.
Right.
You just don't. I mean, we're all limited in our energy. Our calendar space is limited. That is a challenging time. I think those transition periods can be hard.
Yeah. And even things that, again, with a background in communication, right? Like, and I'm very relationship oriented. And so a lot of that, like one-on-one communication, working with direct reports, it shifted to more of a like one-on-many sort of communication.
Yeah.
And again, you just, I think, have to be aware of like the role requires something different without losing the core of who you are and,
yeah, it's really interesting that you bring that up. I mean, just like reflecting on my own journey as I listen to you say that, because I, by trade, I'm a pastor. So there's a certain expectation that pastors are going to be kind people and involved in you know, folks' lives that maybe go to their church. And I remember going from kind of like an associate pastor role, where one of my main jobs is actually to, you know, pastor and shepherd the folks that call our particular church home, to a lead pastor role where I find myself now, where now I'm actually leading a staff of pastors who are doing some of those things. I remember feeling like a jerk for like a year. Like I just feel like a jerk to like they want to meet with me. I genuinely want to meet with them. I can't do it anymore.
Right.
And I had to like really wrestle with, is there something wrong with my heart? Is it like, I don't love people anymore. No, of course I do, but I'm having to embrace some of these human limits that interact with like my new roles and responsibilities. I just think that's a fascinating little part of our journey as you kind of like continue the career path.
And it's like a move from being more producing the work to now the role is empower, right? It's really about empowering others and supporting. And instead of doing that to a team of individual performers, now you're doing that to, again, as I think through my whole career journey, first it was doing that to managers and department heads. And now it's making sure that our other executives, right?
So how did you go about doing that? Because that is a really interesting thing that you kind of, and this brings me back to my question that I said, I was going to circle back around delegation. How have you like grown that within yourself as a leader? Not just doing all of the work myself, but entrusting it to others, giving it away, empowering others to do it. Maybe a specific question I could ask is, what's the line on how you empower and keep accountable? And like, how do you manage maybe the standards that you have and even the methods in which someone would execute that? How do you manage kind of giving that away and even protecting your own peace as you let go of some of those things?
Yeah. So I'm going to say it's a work in progress for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, city organization, we have 2,400 employees. So it's a large scope of things to try and be attentive to. So at the core for me, it's about having a working with a team of people who I trust completely.
Yeah.
And that we have, again, shared accountability and really strong communication. So I think, you know, the team that I work with, like, we've gotten into a good rhythm of people know, like, when do I need a heads up on something? And when they're just going to run with things. And people have, different leaders have different styles, right? So my style is one that I'd rather be a little bit in the mess of things early on and kind of think through, like, here are a few of the guiding principles I have or the things I want to make sure we accomplish, and then have people go out and run with it versus feeling like everything has to be buttoned up perfectly.
Right. Well, so, I really like that phrase, guiding principles, you know, or I mean, it rhymes a little bit similar to like values. These are kind of the ways, the compass that we want to do about these things. I think getting really clear on those has got to be super helpful.
Yeah, I talk about guardrails, right? It's like, what are the guardrails? So that people know that, and then they can just run. And there's complexity around that in the city organization. I mean, we have so much work that overlaps in our teams or different parts of the organization that are impacted. Again, the community, when you're serving the community, there are a lot of different competing ideas and values and needs out there. And so how we navigate all of that and bring it together to use our resources in the best way, I feel like, you know, I'm doing a lot of translating and kind of making sure that everybody's staying aligned. And
that's what we're doing. I love that. Yeah, I just got a chance to sit down with the interim head football coach at CSU.
Yeah.
And I was asking him a similar question. And he said, I know the 6 most important hires that I want on the staff.
Yep.
And he said, and he listed them, this, 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 and this. And if I can get those hires right, it will help everything else on the team. And it's just so interesting. You know, I think I've been like on this little learning journey as I've watched. So I grew up playing football. I played football in college. And so I've just always loved the sport. Right now, if you watch football, most of the head coaches aren't actually calling the plays,
right?
Which is fascinating to me,
because
they're talking about culture. They're talking, you know, they're in it with their players, but they're not like saying, you know, they're not even writing out like the route tree and, you know, run the route this particular kind of way. It's just so interesting to me. They've delegated so much responsibility to other people that actually greatly impacts their success and whether or not that football coach is going to continue to have a job. And so it's amazing. I think it's a leadership class in a lot of ways. As you grow in leadership, how you can, and not everybody can let go of those things and empower other people around them. That this is a skill set that you must have, like partly innate and partly shaped over time. It's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, it is a little bit of both for sure. And I do think somewhat I'm wired that way in some respects to not feel like I need to be at the center of everything. Although I'm realizing like, oh yeah, I have to let go of some control things sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I've often said like one of my sort of my leadership superpower is take on chaos and give that calm,
Well, that would feel like a superpower.
There's a lot of chaos around here. And again, how that's gonna look and what the actual outcome of something is gonna be, like I have to let go of some of that, right? And again,
which is, as you mentioned, it's a process.
Yeah.
But were there times like in your childhood, like young Kelly, were there times where you're like, actually, I am a leader? Like, was there a time where, even as a young girl, you were like, I guess if no one's gonna lead it, I'm gonna do it, or were you always out in front, just kind of leading the way?
I do think I very much, again, step into spaces. And I won't say it's ever that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a leader. And absolutely, when I look back, it's like, yes, there's a class project and it needs somebody to step up and organize and make sure things are getting done. That was me. Oh, the women's Christmas tea at church.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Like, I'll pull together a team and we'll cater the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I do just tend to, I have always probably just tended to step into those spaces. Yep.
Now, is that, because I'm talking to my kids about like the group projects right now. They like come home and like, I'm going to get a bad grade because little Johnny's not doing his work. And I'm like, well, look, if you want to get a good grade, sometimes your desire to get a good grade means you work harder than little Johnny over there. I mean, like, I don't know how else to tell you. What was your filling those gaps more of like a, I feel like there's an easy solution to this problem, or more like, well, if no one else is going to do it, then I guess I'll do it? Or where did you find yourself with that?
I mean, some of it was probably like I have a fairly high standard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I, like, if I'm part of a group and I want it to go well.
Yeah.
And so if I think it's at risk of not going well, I was going to jump in and make sure it happened.
It's just so interesting. Yeah. Like, what shapes us, you know? It's just so interesting. And those little stories and those little things.
Like, yeah. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Super interesting. I want to circle back to something you had said about city management roles, because you said there's not been a lot of, stereotypically, not a lot of females that hold this space. And so now you're city manager of Fort Collins, a very desirable place to be a city manager, to live, to kind of orchestrate where we're headed in the future. Have you found any other female city managers? Like, in, I guess, do city managers talk to each other? Like, is there camaraderie that you find in other places, or, what's that been like?
Yeah, absolutely. So city managers, I mean, we have networks both within the state and within the country. I mean, again, when you think about, it's a fairly small network. And so kind of across the country, you get to know one another.
Well, not every city can even probably have this kind of role.
Right. Right. There, not every city is a council manager form of government. If it's a like a strong mayor form of government, they don't necessarily have a city manager. So I will say, in the state of Colorado, we tend to have, there are more, and I can't give you the exact percentage, but there are actually number of city manager, female city managers in the state of Colorado. So that's nice. I have kind of an existing network there. And it's not, I mean, it's really about any, right? Like, it's not about a gender, specific gender. It's about that network of people who share the experience of leading in an organization where you have such a wide portfolio of services. Because, you know, leading a portfolio of police, very different than utilities, very different than streets, different than arts and culture, different than IT. Like, you know, it's almost like 39 different businesses.
Yep.
So having leaders who have that same experience, and then again, in a setting where public demands and desires change on a regular basis, and how you navigate those interests and make sure that you are serving the community in the best way that possible. And for me, it's really preserving trust in the community. Like, I think that's one of the things Fort Collins has done so well throughout history, is really maintained and built strong trust with the community. And that's something, as city employees, that we take really, really seriously, of being good stewards of that trust.
Yeah. No, that's yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Finding those folks who have a shared experience, where there's just like an intuitive knowledge of what you're going through, that you also don't have to lead, you know, that you can just be peers with. I think that's really helpful for leaders of any right, for sure.
Yeah. And we're, you know, again, as we all deal with, like, and this is not just to local government, but as we have shrinking resources, increasing demands, learning from others about like how they're approaching things.
Yeah.
It's just so helpful.
Yeah. How do we execute the same level of excellence with less money?
Right.
Like, this is probably not a uncommon conversation. It was like, how do we do more with less?
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah. And different communities value different things, but again, the approach of how you decide that. So I really value those peer networks.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Well, I find myself like just curious to ask you, because I interviewed Mayor Jenny Arndt a little while ago, and there's been an election. We're going to have a new mayor coming up, Emily, another wonderful female leader in Fort Collins. Fort Collins has amazing female leaders all across the board. It's pretty incredible to see how many powerful female leaders are in our midst. What does that look like for you then in your day? How does that impact you? I mean, I guess I find myself curious, and I imagine I'm not the only one that doesn't exactly know how that is going to all work together. So what's that transition like for you, and how's that going to impact you?
Yeah. So I have been in this role for 4 years now, and so have been through one council transition where we had one new council member who came in. After this most recent November election, we are going to have four new council members. So a new mayor. So it will be my first time in this chair of going through a mayoral transition, and then three new council members. And so, you know, when you think about four out of seven, that's going to be a pretty significant
That's a big shift.
Change.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, again, on a kind of daily basis, Emily has been in the mayor pro tem role. And so, again, I've had the opportunity to work with her in that capacity for the last 4 years. She's so familiar with the work of governing and this role of city council. And so I think that's going to be a very smooth transition as she moves into that role. And then for the other council members, we're already like starting that onboarding process. And, you know, the work doesn't change for me in that it really is the council who sets the policy direction for the city. They'll set their priorities in the end of January. We'll have a couple retreat days, and council will put together their priorities, and then it's really staff, myself and staff, that work to operationalize those, as well as keep all of the day-to-day operations of the city going. So, you know, it'll be fun to get to know the new council members, and my job is
a retreat. So like you, like, will you leave Fort Collins? I mean, you don't even need to tell us where you're going, but like, is it like a, like an overnight, like you're,
we call it a retreat.
Trust falls and all kinds of different things.
No, fair. We call it a retreat, but really what it means is like a Saturday where we're not in a city facility. So
yes,
we'll still be in Fort Collins. We'll be at the Visit Fort Collins. I don't know if you've been in the Visit Fort Collins space in Old Town. It's a beautiful space that they make available for different community.
I haven't. I'll have to look into that. Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah. Sometime. It's fantastic. So we'll be down there, and those meetings are still open to the public, but it's like not a everything we do is super, super transparent.
Right.
So, you know, typically city council in all of their formal meetings, those are all televised.
Yep.
So really when I say retreat, it's like still open to the public. People can come, but it's not a formal sitting around a table televised meeting. It's a chance to be a little bit more informal and have a little bit more of that brainstorm.
Yeah.
Deeper dive conversation.
Yep. Super interesting. Let me ask you a little bit about your just kind of more particulars of your role then, because you had mentioned, you know, you are, my words, not yours, but correct me where I'm wrong, maybe like helping execute the vision of the city council and the mayor. So that means, I mean, those aren't small things. So we're talking budget stuff. We're talking tax, you know, increases, all kinds of different ballots and measures that come in. Then you're talking about a whole bunch of staff. You had mentioned how many employees the city have. Can you say that again? I forgot the
2400.
Number. 24. So one of the larger employers, I would imagine. I mean, university is probably really high on that list.
Yeah, we're the fourth largest.
The
employer.
Hospital, who would be?
And the county.
And then the county, and then you guys.
Yeah.
So fourth largest, that's a lot of, how many people report to, we're in your office right now, like how this room must get filled with all kinds of different folks coming to report to you or get information from you and get direction. I mean,
yeah, again, I mean, our structure in the city organization. So I have 8 direct reports. I have a deputy city manager, Tyler Marr, fantastic. He oversees all of our utilities. So water, wastewater, stormwater, light and power, and broadband, which is our newest utility. So he oversees the full utility area, as well as our sustainability services and our community services. So again, it really is in some respects kind of a shared leadership model of he's overseeing a large portfolio of our city services. Then reporting directly into me, I have 2 assistant city managers, one who's focusing a lot on our city council and our city clerk's office, equity, really some of those engagement spaces in the city. Another assistant who oversees more of our internal, that I mentioned earlier, like employee information and employee services, Denzel oversees that. And then planning, development, and transportation reports directly into me. Finance and HR report directly into me. and police services.
Yeah.
So
that is a lot of information that's coming across your desk. How are you able to manage that level of decisions, those decision trees, that even, I mean, compartmentally, like, you, I mean, that's a lot of different spaces where you're helping make decisions, because yeah. police services and utilities are two very different things.
Yeah. Well, so again, I'm going to say again, so much of the decision making is in the hands of those very capable executives
yeah.
who are in department leaders. And, you know, again, there's a lot of decision making that's happening in all levels of the organization. What I'm really trying to do is ensure we have some good systems for checking in and accountability and driving organization priorities and council priorities. So, you know, part of the way I focus is, like, every other week we have new employees who start, and I spend an hour with every new employee who comes into the organization.
Really?
So that we're talking about the vision, mission, and values of the city, because that is one of the primary things I do, is drive culture in the organization.
Yep.
So focusing on that. We have something that's called quarterly service area reviews. So once a quarter, I'm basically meeting with every service area level leadership team in the city, so the department heads, and we're focusing on operational issues, budget accountability, and metrics, performance metrics, talking about any, you know, maybe areas where we need to make sure we have alignment, or they want to test things. So those are just really powerful conversations. And again, that structure helps a lot.
Yeah, for sure. We're running out of time, so I have like two questions left.
Okay.
I want to finish with some of the things that you're looking forward to coming, you know, towards our city. Because one of your roles is to execute things today, but it's also to, like, plan for the future. And this city is growing.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about how the city is going to manage that growth, and, like, what you guys are kind of, how you're thinking about that. But before we get to that, I just, even if it's just a quick answer, because something you said 30 minutes ago, I think is so important for so many people, especially young people who are starting their career, to hear. You said you never, like, really sought out to have this role necessarily. It's not like, I mean, maybe you did, but it doesn't sound like you went to college and got a, you know, a bachelor's degree in city management. You were faithful to every role that you were in, as faithfulness to show up and do this really well and to do this really well. And next thing you know, you're getting moved around, you're getting more exposure. That isn't necessarily a common word that I hear from people who are navigating career path and promotions, is faithfulness as best as I can in the place that I'm in. You want to just tell us a little bit about that? Because that struck me as a unique answer, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, again, it was about doing the best that I could in whatever role I was in, and then saying yes to opportunities that came up. And when there was a need that I saw needed to be met, not hesitating to raise my hand or step in and do that.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think, you know, and I'll acknowledge there are people who come in with a very clear, like, this is where I want to go, and they're working to get there. That just wasn't my path. Right.
Yeah.
My path was one that was much more from a perspective of, I want to know that I'm adding value. I want to be finding joy in my job. We talk about, one of the things I talk about with new employees is the it, the we, and the I, which is, like, do you know that the work is meaningful and that it's making a difference? Two, do you genuinely care about the people that you're working with? And do you know that they care about you? And then three is the I's, are your individual needs being met? And if those three things happen, that could just be, it could be the best job you've ever had. And I've had, I think, I need to actually count 11 or 12 different jobs in the city organization.
Wow.
And I feel like each one of them, I can say, like, this is the best job I've ever, right now I'd say this is the best job I've ever had. But I've had other amazing.
Well, I think that's an incredible playbook, though. I genuinely do, because I'm talking with a lot of young people. I'm surrounded with a lot of people who are maybe at the beginnings of their career path. And, you know, everyone's a little bit different, but sometimes a lot of those conversations, they only are about I, and they stay with I. They don't say yes as much as they're guarding their life with no's. Mm-hmm. And it may restrict some of, you know, the path that, and the journey that they get to live. It 11 or 12 jobs that you've loved is a great career.
It is.
If we could all say we've had this many different roles and I can, you know, genuinely say I've loved them all, that's a pretty good life. You're living a good life in a great place.
Yeah.
At that point. So let me just close with this kind of, and you can riff on this for 5 minutes or so or whatever, but it's a growing city. Growing cities don't, you know, it's nothing that grows in a linear fashion anymore. There's complex changes and there's complex struggles as well as a lot of blessings that come with growth as well. Even just driving to your office today, I saw more buildings that are getting a little bit taller than that because there's not as much room to just expand. So tell me a little bit about how you're managing that growth as the city manager and maybe a couple things you're really looking forward to with the city of Fort Collins.
Yeah, happy to. So the community is changing quite a bit. And it's interesting when we talk about growth, because I think people have a perception that the community is rapidly or still really growing. And we're actually in a period where we're not adding a lot of population right now.
It's just kind of migrating a little bit though, right?
It's shifting a little bit. The region is growing a lot. And that is something that we are attentive to. And, you know, again, it has challenges that come with that and also some wonderful things as the region grows, but the community's aging somewhat. And so we're really talking more about how do we make sure that we keep this a vibrant community for all ages?
Yeah.
You know, if you were to talk to someone at the school district, again, and heard some of the community conversations around just school, potential school closures, and that's about the size of classrooms shrinking. And
right.
And so how do we make sure that we're keeping this a place for families? Big part of that is housing.
It's affordability, right?
Yep,
I mean, that's got to be something that keeps you up at night. Like, how can we tackle this?
It does. And there's some things that local government can do. And we also have to recognize that we're not, you know, we don't provide affordable housing.
Right.
So what are the conditions and the things that we're doing that influence that? I mean, some of it is, if you think about parts of the community where housing might be super affordable, and the quality of life is not nearly as good, right?
Yeah.
So some of the things that we have done and invested in the community that make this such a fantastic place that everybody loves are then part of what becomes the challenge.
Yeah.
Making it affordable. So I think, you know, a few conversations and things that I'm excited about as we think about growth of the community in terms of housing supply. Northeast Fort Collins is really where we're going to see some opportunity there. And so how do we build that out, that area out in a way that, again, fits our community vision around more neighborhood centers, more housing choice, denser development so that things are bikeable, walkable. So I think a lot about that. The economic health of the community is something that we're talking more about. One of the ways that we're going to have families living here is having good jobs for people and not having to commute. So I think a greater intentionality around economic health than what we have had in maybe some recent years.
I've talked with Ann Hutchinson before and Leadership Fort Collins. I was around the circle in this idea around like talent acquisition, how it can be challenging. I mean, now if you're at like upper management or, you know, a C-suite type level, you'll be able to recruit those folks and they'll be able to afford to live here. It's not going to be a problem. But if you have to take an entry level position and you can't afford to live here, that becomes a challenge for the community. So this is kind of that space that becomes challenging, right? How can we create affordability for these entry level so that they can live in the community where they work?
Yes, absolutely. Live, work, and play. That's what we talk about. We want this to be a community where people can afford to live, work, and play. Again, I think some partnerships with the university there. We're very fortunate to have Colorado State University in our midst. And when we talk about economic opportunity, that's going to be a place where we're going to continue to focus more. I also want to make sure we're not losing sight of the things that, again, have made Fort Collins such a desirable place, like our downtown is truly a gem. How do we preserve that? And also, how do we foster spaces like that on the south part of town?
Yep.
And again, in more of these neighborhood centers, the Urban Renewal Authority, which includes City Council, but it's actually a separate entity, has been doing some really great things for North College. So again, have probably heard that the Albertsons property has been purchased,
yep.
A couple former hotels up there. where I think that we're going to start to see real transformation of the vitality of the North College corridor. And I'm very excited about where that's
going. That is exciting.
So, you know, we're focused in the city on right sizing. I think some challenging conversations coming with the community, I'll say, about right sizing our services. Again, that those budget pressures are real. And so we're going to have honest conversations with the community about choices and trade-offs. And I so appreciate that Fort Collins engages in those conversations, right? The community is invested. They step up. They're willing to help make some of those informed trade-offs. And then ultimately, you know, again, council will help set those levels.
So yeah.
A lot of exciting work ahead.
Very exciting. And man, this has just been such a great conversation. I mean, just even selfishly for me, just to sit under your leadership, to pick your brain a little bit about delegating and accountability, setting culture, things like that. And even just hearing your journey, I think is really, really sweet. I know a lot of people will love hearing that as well. I just want you to know from me, and I think from many others, we're grateful for the work that you're doing. We're thankful for your leadership. This is a big task. It's a big job with a lot of like implications to the decisions that you help guide, that you give away, of course, to your incredible team. I'm thankful for you. And there are so many of us that are rooting you on because we love this city. We truly love this city. It's been great for many, many years, and we want to keep it that way for decades to come. And so thank you for the way that you're managing the city and continuing to provide such a wonderful place to work, live, and play. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you so much. I love this place too. I love our community.
So great.
Thanks for listening to the Love FOCO Show. If today's conversation inspired you, share it with a friend who loves Fort Collins as much as you do. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. It helps more people discover us. To learn more about Love FOCO and find opportunities for loving our city one life at a time, visit lovefoco.com. For now, keep loving Fort Collins well.